The message today is sheep and heavenly peace. Sheep and heavenly peace. Sheep and heavenly peace. And we're going to be talking about the shepherds today. And so it said, you know, when people can't sleep, they should count sheep. Well, I have a better alternative, and we're going to see that in a minute. The Christmas season, you know, when we start to think about shepherds, they're all through scriptures, right? All through the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph, all these things, they all had sheep. And when they went to Egypt, remember what they said when Joseph's family was reunited? They said, well, give them the land of Goshen, the best land, because they're shepherds. But what we can't overlook is the shepherds were despised. You know why? Well, if you're a good Jewish boy in a good Jewish religion, right, and you believe in the importance of being ceremonially clean, it doesn't include hanging out with the sheep and maybe like laying down with the sheep and experiencing all their stuff. So the shepherds were despised by some of the religious folk. They were seen as thieves. They were seen as more than second-class citizens. Kind of like Pharaoh looked at him like, oh, they're shepherds. Put them over there far away from me. But shepherds have some remarkably amazing qualities that we need to understand and see. Now, let me just ask you a question. How many of you know the show Monk? Oh, good. I'm like an addict, except now we've finally seen the last episode. Love that show. And so shepherds are still used this day to help people in Palestine find missing people, fugitives, missing animals. They even are taken out as guides. So if you looked at a barren field, which is like what the wilderness looks like in that part of the world, you would just look at that and say, it looks like a lot of nothing. That's not what it looks like to a shepherd. A shepherd looks at that, and they can see paths, they can see tracks, their eyes are trained, they know where to find water. In Israel, water is measured even less than a millimeter, like it's maybe a little bit bigger than a millimeter. It's like, what do we measure rain in inches? It's like a little bit more than millimeters because it's so rare. So if you're tending flocks and you don't find water, you're not going to have happy sheep. You're going to have dead sheep, right? And angry people that are depending on those sheep. And we'll get to that a little bit later. So those shepherds are probably like Adrian Monk. They see things. Adrian Monk, for those that don't know, is a detective on a show, and he notices things that nobody else notices, but he's unbelievably OCD. So if anybody lacked peace, it's Adrian Monk. I mean, you know, if he shakes someone's hand, he goes, wipe, you know, and he has to wash his hands. That's what the religious people are like. So the first thing we want to look at as we look at our passage for today is our first thing is we need to watch for things that will harm us. What are some of the things that shepherds are looking out for? Wolves, right? Predators, thieves, right? Well, in the Song of Solomon, it talks about what can harm relationships are these little foxes that come in. And I don't know about you, but in my world, sometimes when it's big things that go wrong in my life, they don't cause me to lose my peace. They force me to seek out God. It's like, whoa, man, I can't handle this. I need your help, Lord. I need your help. Anybody relating to that? But how many of you know, like those little ones, they just bite at you. Like yesterday, before the elders thing, I came here, I just wanted to print my manuscript up, right? That's a nice thing, so the people back there can run it and all. And I'm like, oh, what's wrong? Why won't it print? Is it the printer? Is it this? Is that? I finally reset the internet and everything was fine. I think Amy had it labeled, not this one, but press here. But how many of you know, can anybody else but me, like, I can lose my mind with technology? Anybody else? Oh, you stupid thing! Right? It's like, wait a minute, like 10 years ago, you didn't have that, you know? Oh, your GPS, you know? You ever been there? That's a fox. And so the first thing we want to look at is we need to watch for things that will steal our peace. You need to be like Monk in that regard. Don't be OCD like him, okay? But you need to be saying, ooh, wait a minute. Resetting the internet? Or my printer not printing? Is that the end of the world? No. No. Thankfully, in that case, there wasn't super urgency. I didn't wait till today to print it, right? Except I did leave my manuscript at home. So I had to. But what about other things? Is it worth getting upset and losing your peace in traffic? No. Is it easy to do? Absolutely. Running late? Man, I have a remarkable wife. Really. But I haven't been on time ever since we started getting engaged. You know, that's just how it works. It's not worth losing your peace, right? We're usually on time, but not always, you know, anyway. So, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping what? Watch over their flock by night. The first thing is, to keep your peace, you must be like Monk. Because the enemy of our soul wants us to have no peace, to forfeit it for stupid things that don't matter. The big ones, we cling to him. If someone's really got some life-threatening illness or something, then all bets are off and we cling to him. But in my experience, the little ones, the little foxes are hanging on your backside and you need to say, I'm not letting that bother me. I'm just going to deal with it and I'm going to give it to God. And that brings us to the next point here. Peace is not pretending. You know, fake is not of God. Jesus says, I am the way, what's that one? Oh, the truth. So truth is not pretending. So truth, peace is not pretending that we don't have negative emotions. So as I go and I say, how you doing? What do you want to say? How you doing? Fine, I'm fine. Now, I'm not proposing that you go out to someone, everybody, and say, Ray, how you doing? Oh, how long you got? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's appropriate in some contexts, right? That's why we have brothers and sisters in Christ. But if you do that to everybody in your office, they're not going to think very well of you. They're going to be like, oh, here he comes, right? So we don't pretend that we have negative emotions. Listen to this, verse 9. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Pitch black field, all of a sudden filled with light. How would you feel? Right? Your eyeballs would be blasted. And they were filled with what? Great fear. And I don't think I have this verse up there, but look here. put the next one up. They were filled with great fear. Literally, they had mega fear. Phobon, like phobia, right? You know that phobia, Megan, right? And the angel said, do not fear. Have Karen Megalon. So sometimes we have mega fear. Doesn't that sound like a heavy metal band? Yeah, mega fear is playing Atlantic City, right? I think we should have the Christian band. Mega Joy is coming after them to restore the people's joy. Yeah, right? But we can get mega fear. Sometimes it's the foxes. Sometimes it's the finances. Sometimes it's the family. But we got to be careful not to have the mega fear. And how do we do that? Well, for one, we're honest about it. They were afraid. And I would be too if I was out there in a shepherd. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Now, we just heard them sing about that. This is something interesting here. Remember like when we did Herod? Christianity is the only world religion that has dates and places and people. Remember how we had like Caesar Augustus and Mark Antony and Octavian and all that? Well, this is a royal announcement. When a new emperor was put in office, or however you want to say that, it would be announced just like this. Good news. This is way better news. Good news of great joy that will appear to who? All people. All people. That's the first part. The good news But the second part of it is, and the reason it's good news, and the reason we don't have mega fear, but we have mega joy, is because 11 says, for unto you a child is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly with the angel more came the heavenly army, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, listen carefully, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Why do the shepherds not have mega fear? Because of the Savior. Notice it says, joy, great joy, that will be with all people or peoples, depending on your translation, but glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. No Savior, no peace. So the message is an invitation from here to the ends of the earth. Peace is available to you, but only if you know the Savior. It's as simple as that, and we'll see that in just a minute. Look at number three here. Peace is reserved for those who know the Shepherd. Who know the Shepherd. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Jesus says in John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the enemy of our soul. Jesus says, I come to give life and life to the full. But verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd who does what? The good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. That's what the shepherd does. And that's where our peace comes from. Rest of the story goes, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. By the way, what's going on here is these shepherds were out in the field, and it's very probable that they're like, hey, you know, in one of your stalls there, where your sheep often sleep, that's where you're going to find the Savior wrapped in cloths. Isn't that crazy? Where's the Savior? Oh, you see, he's in one of your... And so what they're probably doing is they're looking in each place, and there he is. Oh, Mary and Joseph. Talk about a humble entrance. 16, they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. So they're spreading the news far and wide, just like we do. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God, praising God, mega fear or mega peace or mega joy. Which? Mega fear, mega joy. Mega joy. They're having mega joy. And all they heard and seen as it had been told to them. So when you can't sleep, don't count sheep. Talk to the shepherd. That's a very cute message, kind of. Here's how it brings home. So we started with Adrian Monk. Look at this guy here. Who's that? Martin Luther King. And what does he say? The time is always right to do what is right. Well, Martin Luther King is an example of someone that really demonstrated very, very little fear. Hear his story. He says, basically, as we're looking at King, what is necessary for us to function as people of peace, bringing the message from here to the ends of the earth, is we need a whole new set of eyes. Remember how we talked about watching carefully for foxes and things that steal our joy? We need a Savior, and we need an encounter with Christ to give us a new set of eyes. If we don't, our efforts will be manifest the kingdom. It'll be flawed because we're fear-controlled. We're controlled by a vision of the world that is an unsafe and dangerous place. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't dangerous things out in the world. Do you think the world in the South in 1956 was a dangerous place for African Americans? No question. But King got a new set of eyes. Here's what happened. Those who see the world differently See it with new eyes. It requires a spiritual encounter with the grace of God. So in 1956, Martin Luther King Jr. was a young Baptist minister in Montgomery, Alabama, right after Rosa Parks wouldn't give her seat up on the bus, and there was a huge bus boycott. And guess who was leading it? They looked for someone that was kind of young and maybe a little naive, not very, very smart, brilliant guy. And so he's leading this boycott. And so as he starts to lead this boycott, he gets a phone call. This happened on January 27th, 1956. And so as his wife and little infant were sleeping in the other room, he gets a phone call that says, "Leave the town within 4 days or we're going to kill your family." Mega fear or mega joy? How many of you are like, mega fear? And this is what King says. Did he deal with his emotions or did he just bury them? He later admitted, "I was scared to death." And he says, "I was paralyzed with fear." You ever been there? I have. Fear had caused King to turn inward in a posture of what? Self-protection. When we're in conflict sometimes, you know, it starts out with, it's me, it's the problem, and it's you. And as the thing escalates, it's me and the problem. As it further escalates, it's only about me. It's self-preservation. I don't care about anything else. So King is trying to be taking care of himself. And then something unexpected happened. He got up, poured himself a cup of coffee, and sitting there with his head in his hands, he heard this: "Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world." The voice promised him, "Never to leave me," says King. "Never to leave me alone." No, never alone. He promised to never leave me. Never to leave me alone. That night that King experienced the presence of Christ changed the way he saw the world. It took away his fear. Did the world change? Not yet. He certainly had an effect on that. He saw with new eyes. He saw the world with God with us eyes. That's what we're talking about. And after that encounter in his kitchen, he said, "I can stand up without fear. I can face anything." His new view of the world was about to be tested. Four nights later, he was speaking at a rally when somebody came in and said, "Dr. King's house is on fire. It's been bombed. And his family's still inside." And so they hurried to the house, and outside was a mob of angry African Americans with guns and with bats. And they were ready to go to action. But King showed that he had no fear. He had new eyes and a new thought, new mind of Christ. So he actually ran up to the porch of his house as it was on fire, and this is what he said: "He who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. I want you to love your enemies. Be good to them. Love them and let them know that you love them. For we are doing what is right. We are doing what is just. And God is with us." Oh! Is that exciting? And then, you know what the crowd did? They put down their guns and their bats, and they started singing Amazing Grace. The cops that were around said, "If that didn't happen, we would have been dead. And the civil rights movement would have been greatly stunted." Historians say that's the turning point of the civil rights movement, when they had this peaceful, nonviolent protest. It won people over and saw, this is ridiculous what's going on and how these people are being treated. That's actually not the truth. The truth is the turning point in the civil rights movement happened 4 days earlier in Martin Luther King's kitchen when he got new eyes and he encountered the King. The turning point was when he encountered Christ and had a vision of the world with God being in charge. Then it didn't matter what happened. It didn't matter if he was killed, because God would allow that. Eyes to not see a dangerous world in which activism must be driven by fear, self-interests. It wasn't along. We didn't have to be afraid anymore, he's saying. But a God with us world in which we are freed from fear, freed to serve. What would it look like if everyone here just suddenly, as whether it's a little fear or a big fear, walked out saying, I don't have to be afraid. God's with me. When I am afraid, I'm honest about it, and I cast it on Christ who cares for me, my Savior. Freed to love even those who seek his life. He saw the world as not as a dangerous and threatening place through the eyes of fear, but not through a posture of self-preservation and control, but as a God with us, a God will never leave us world, a God who will never forsake us, is perfectly safe, even if you're facing Romans and mobs that have it out for you completely. We must see a world and be set like this with new eyes so that we can be set free. Well, that's the story of King, and you know the rest of it. He was assassinated eventually, but because of his deeds, because of his faith and his new eyes, our world is a much better place. The title of the message is Sheep and Peace on Earth. I like to put a little humor in sometimes, but almost 90% of the time, there's a point. Here's the crazy thing. Those shepherds that encountered the angels who received the message were not just shepherds. I mean, there were shepherds, but the sheep they were tending were a special flock of sheep. They were the perfect sheep that the religious community used as sacrificial lambs. Let this sink into your soul. The God of the universe sends his angel and the armies of heaven to say, look, you shepherds, I'm going to do something amazing. I'm going to redeem all those lost sheep. You know how you're raising these sheep up to be perfect lambs for the sacrifice? The sacrifices that take away people's sins? Let me introduce you to the one who is the God-man who's going to willingly lay down his life so that I can redeem the entire world and take away their fear and give them peace in every circumstance. Ladies and gentlemen of Trinity Christian Chapel, watch for those little stupid things, the foxes that will bite you. Be like Monk in that regard. Look for them and don't miss them because they will steal your peace. Be honest with your negative emotions. Be real. Present them to God and present them to people that love you. But make absolutely certain that you know the Savior who laid his life down for his sheep.